God witness, leading of the spirit, leading and perception series, right? Because I don't know whether it's a one, two, but I know we are somewhere. Hallelujah. Amen. So Matthew 28, from verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority is given me in heaven and in the earth. Funny. I see power in my Bible and I call authority. Okay, all authority, because that I know the Greek word there is exousia, authority. Now all authority is given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever has commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark 16 from verse 15. And Jesus came, and Jesus spoke to them, saying, go therefore and preach the gospel to every creation. He said, to every creature rather. He said, he that believed, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So they will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke 24, from verse 45. The Bible says, and he opened he their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. It is thus it is written, and thus it beholds Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Say, and ye are witnesses of these things. Say, behold, I send the promise of the Father, but I made the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. So John 20 from verse 22. John 20. You don't follow this quickly. John 20. As you guys are, you put it this way, I will start off our teaching every day. Those of you who are around on Sunday, you always find that link, right, between those teachings, and it's very important. That is why the midweek service is just a flow form. Sunday service, just the same. Hallelujah. Just different topic, but the same thing. Hallelujah. Verse 22, he said, and he said this, when he said this, he said, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So whosoever ye have seen, ye remitted, and whosoever ye receive, I receive. Hallelujah. And we said, what we said, if you look at Acts of Apostles chapter 1, we saw that Jesus taught them, right? He taught them for 40 days. He was teaching them. So, we now say, this will be a summary of what he taught them within the 40 days. Now, in that 40 days, they received instructions, right? So this will be a summary. So first of all, put it this way, when you read Matthew 28 from verses 18, that instruction will show you, will give you a picture of how he taught them within the 40 days. Right? Hallelujah. So he will tell them, make disciples. Do you understand me? Make disciples. So that will be a summary of that instruction. Do you understand me? Within the 40 days. So Matthew will summarize all the instructions to be make disciples. Hope you're following me. So he will record that discipleship aspect of the instruction. Hallelujah. Mark will say, go preach the gospel. Now, look at what they have done. Mark will say, preach the gospel. Luke will say, the gospel, which is the gospel of God's forgiveness, right? Of sins. Repentance and God's forgiveness of sins. John will call the gospel, when a man believes that his sins are forgiven them, or it's forgiven him. Hallelujah. And he that rejects the gospel, his sins aren't forgiven him. Hallelujah. Then Mark will say, that will be, he is condemned. He's damned. Hope you're following that. Now when you look at Luke, second writing of Luke, which will be the book of Acts, it uses the word, he taught them concerning, the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So that means every language you see employed, by Matthew, Mark, Luke, John will be kingdom language. Alright, will be kingdom language. So he uses the word preach the gospel, keruso, and he uses another word there, euangelion. Hallelujah. So those will be kingdom words. Stop your following me. Those will be kingdom words. When you hear the word euangelion, your mind goes back to the Old Testament books, where you will find the kingdom, or you'll find kingdom news. What are you following me? You'll find kingdom news. So there is a kingdom narrative. Hallelujah. So when you hear euangelion, the writer automatically wants you to see that Jesus was teaching them from the 39 books. What are you following me? And Luke also says the beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Are you following that? So automatically, the writers are taking your attention back to what Genesis to Malachi. That is how they will write. Glory to God. They will write for you to reread Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means we said, at the background of the four Gospels is Genesis to Malachi. Right? At the background of the four Gospels. And Jesus makes us see that too. The writers of the synoptical write the same way. Glory to God. We said some of those things on Sunday. Hallelujah. Or we looked at some of those things on Sunday. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we said things like, if you get to Exodus, what will be the background of Exodus? Genesis. Right? Right? Hallelujah. What will be the background of the prophet? Moses. Like that. So we'll find that in the narrative down to the four Gospels. So what will be in the background of the four Gospels? Genesis to Malachi. What will be in the background of the book of Acts and the Epistles? The four Gospels and the what? Old Testament books. Hope you're following that. Very vital. Hallelujah. So that means if we said those will be, the writers want you to take your mind back to the Old Testament, but when you hear the word kingdom narrative, where will you find a kingdom narrative? In the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. So that means they want your attention to go back, because that was where Jesus read from. Luke showed you that. Beginning at Moses and not the prophet. So that means these instructions of Jesus, make disciples preach the gospel, or concerning kingdom activities, right? You will find them as instructions of the Old Testament books. You'll find it there. Come back to learning. You'll find it there. You can put those will be instructions in theology. I like that. Instructions in theology. Because scriptures is theology. Scriptures is the study of God. So that means in the study of God, we have instructions to what? Make disciples by preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. So that means when you say Jesus wants you to read there, or because he read there, it means that God, who is God, have to restrict his own. I have it here. Let me put it the way I have it in my notes. It's assuring you that Jesus, who is God, has to restrict his theology. That's good. To the scriptures. Hallelujah. He restricted his theology to the scriptures. He restricted it to the scriptures. In fact, you can also put it, he restricted it to the words of the men that he sent. So that means, this becomes, to us, our boundaries. It becomes for us our boundaries to our knowledge of God. Scripture becomes our boundaries. Scripture, which is Genesis down to Revelation, becomes for us our boundaries to our knowledge of God. The written word. Did you see that? The written word becomes our boundaries. Knowing God outside the written word is one, not authentic, fake, and is idol worship. It's not authentic, it's fake, and is idol worship. So if I restrict my knowledge of God to the written word, it then means the written word is a guide. We'll see that shortly. It becomes for us a guide. And as we said in the course of this teaching, this should be our this should be our session 4. Now, as we said in previous session, we said the written word and the spirit agree. Right? They agree. So that means the spirit will not inspire what is not written. Because the written word is the inspiration of the spirit. So when you say the spirit of God told me something that is not in the scriptures, no. The spirit of God will not inspire what will cause rebellion from the scriptures. We're going to see how to put those words or those things to test in this series. Hallelujah. There's a way scripture teaches us how to put them to test. Hallelujah. How to put the leading, what you call, what you felt, or what you think is a leading. You can put it to test. Hallelujah. And it doesn't pass the test of the scripture. You throw it away. Hallelujah. He must pass the test of scriptures. Because they agree. Hallelujah. They agree. So it must pass it. If it doesn't pass it, then it shouldn't hold. I remember one time, I was studying a book. I said I remember, so I was there. But I read a book by Kenneth Hagin. He said he had a vision. And in that vision, he said, before then, the Lord had taught him. That the Lord had taught him that the Lord had taught him how to verify things in scriptures via the witness. So kind of coin it, because I will just talk about it when I get to how to teach things from scriptures. So one time he had a vision, and he said the Lord appeared to him and was telling him some things. And what he just did was just picked up his Bible and gave him to show me from the scriptures. Hallelujah. He had a divine vision, and he picked his Bible in his vision and said, show me from the word. He told me, show me from the word. Hallelujah. That's how to do it. Glory to God. Are they following me? For the well sought out from the scriptures. Well, he said he had had a minister come to him and was telling him, this is what God said, this is what God said, this is what God said. And he knew that wasn't from the scripture. He knew quite all right that can't be from the scripture. So he just picked his Bible the same way. He said, come on, show me from the written word. And the guy said, no. What I'm telling you, you can't find it in this book. You don't find it in this book. Nonsense. Hallelujah. So you just know what to do. Just throw it and throw it away. You don't know that word to just allow, go for one ear and leave. You don't take it serious. Don't take anyone serious who says what he or she is telling you, you can't find from the scripture. Don't you say, no, what I have is the spirit word. The spirit word is supersedes the scriptures. No. Don't say nonsense. Hallelujah. Don't say nonsense. Hallelujah. Jesus appeared to them in the resurrection. He said, go make disciples. Jesus himself says, go make disciples. Go preach the gospel. And if you get to Genesis down to Malachi, we will find it in scripture. So Jesus restricted himself, okay, ladies, to the boundaries of scriptures, even in his instructions. You know, you can just show up and say, I'm Jesus. Leave Moses. No, he said, beginning at Moses. Following me. How much does that a spirit appear to me? He must be a demonic spirit. So he told me, no, what I'm showing you, you can't find it in the written word. This is me. That's Christ. That can be God. Hallelujah. That can be God. If it is God, you will find it in the written word. Hallelujah. He will not inspire rebellion. God will not inspire rebellion against the written word. You won't find rebellion with the written word. No, you wouldn't. Hallelujah. That is what you should know. It will agree to scriptures. Hallelujah. So, when you say leading of the Spirit, when you say leading of the Spirit, we say the believer has received the leading of the Spirit in the new birth. Hallelujah. In the new birth. As the Spirit. How about that? We will receive the leading of the Spirit in the new birth as the Spirit. In John 14, from verse 16, you know a quote in here today, Jesus said to them, he said, and I'll pray the Father, John 14 from verse 16, I'll pray the Father, just few verses
from where we were.
From verse 16, there, and I'll pray the Father and give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I say, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he neither sees him, neither knoweth him. For ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Say, I will not leave you orphans. You see that? I will not leave you comfortless. Orphans. Say, I will come to you. Did you see that? So, Jesus identifies himself with the Spirit in the universe. Hallelujah. He says, I will pray the Father he will give you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come. You see that? So that means the indwelling of the Spirit is Jesus coming again. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So when I get to verse 2, he says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions there. He says, if you're not, I will not have told you, I go prepare a place for you. So when I prepare, I will come again and receive it to myself. What does he call that coming and receiving you to himself? It's not rapture. No, that coming and receiving you to himself will be in the new birth. You see that? He says, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Did you see that? Hallelujah. That will be in the new birth. That will be the resurrection part. Right? Look at verses 19. He says, yet a little while the world will see me no more, but you see me, because I leave you live also. Did you see that? Say, in that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Did you see? Hallelujah. I am in the Father, you in me, and I in you. 23. Say, if a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come and make our abode with him. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So when he uses the word, we'll make our abode with him, it tells you that the Spirit in the new birth, or the indwelling in the new birth, is the union of the Father and the Son in the believer. Hallelujah. In the believer. Glory to God. It's the union of the Father and the Son. So that means in the new birth, what have we received? We receive the Spirit. In John 2, in the wedding in Cana, he called the Spirit the new wine. You see, that's the new wine. Remember the mother told him they have no wine. That is true about humanity. Humanity is without the wine. The wine there will be the Spirit. Matthew chapter 26. Hallelujah. He calls the wine his blood which is shed in the redemption. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Is it for the remission of sin? And we know it is the Spirit. John chapter 6. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. Referring to the blood and the food. I mean, referring to what he has been saying before, right? He says, my blood is drink indeed. He says, my flesh is meat indeed. Hallelujah. Or is bread indeed. That was the basic one. Hallelujah. So, he says, when Mary said, they have no one, that is true about humanity. Humanity is without the Spirit. Right? So, that miracle of turning water into wine will be what? God's plan in the redemption, that man, humanity, would receive the Spirit in the new birth when they believe. Hope you're following me. So that will be. And where will it happen? In the marriage. So Jesus did that miracle for a purpose. So if you don't see in the marriage, in the union of man and God, you will find the Spirit. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. He did it on purpose. Jesus didn't do miracles without a reason. He did that. He performed that miracle. Someone said, but Jesus said that was not my time for miracles. Jesus never said that wasn't my time for miracles. The mother said, they are with no wine. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, why have you come to disturb me? This is not my time. Time for what? The time. This is not the time where man will receive the new wine. But he goes ahead to perform the miracle. Right? To show you that miracles are signs. Okay. In the new birth. In the marriage, what will happen? Man will have the new wine. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Man will have the new wine. In John 3. In John 3. What's happening? Okay. Good. In John 3, it's called food. Amen. Okay, let's continue. So, in John 3, he tells them, in John 3 verse 3, he says, except a man be born again, he cannot, he tells Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Did you see that? He said, a man be born of water, that is of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom, that is verse 3 and verse 5. Verse 8, he now says, the wind blows where it listed, and I can't tell where it's coming or where it goes. It says, so is he that is born of the Spirit. So he means to be born again, is to be born of the Spirit. Did you see that? Making emphasis, the same emphasis in chapter 2, man will receive the new wine. He says that new wine will be the Spirit. Hope you're following me. It will be the Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he now changes that narrative of Spirit. He now uses Spirit interchangeably with life. He now says in verse 16, is it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He has told you what man will receive in chapter 2 will be the Spirit. What he will receive in chapter 3, verses 3, verses 5, verses 8 will be the Spirit. He now says it will be life. So that means the Spirit is eternal life. So what is eternal life? I know I've said this years back. Eternal life is the life that is not the life that is going to live in heaven. The life is not living on earth. The life above sickness is dead and economy is dead. That life is real. I've made up the being cast. I've made up together with him in heaven. The pleasant. You know that song? If you don't know it, you don't know me. Amen. How many of you know that jingle? Yes, sir. God's life is real. He has made up the sick and cast. I still saw that jingle on Yola site. I don't know how to take it out. I said, oh my God, this is going to cast in some years' time. Amen. See, God's life is real. He has made us to be in Christ. Life is, and God's life is above economic meltdown. Inflation. Okay? But when he uses the word eternal life, he has used it with the word Spirit. Now, when he uses the word eternal life, the people, his audience, understood what eternal life is. I say, I no longer have Suke, I now have Zoe. That's nonsense. Zoe is not sick. Zoe is not eternal life. Don't worry, one day I'll teach you about spirit, soul, and body. Anyway, one good day. Now let's have teaching me this. Just spirit, soul, and body. Zoe is eternal, is the very life of God. Live this incarnation. Hallelujah, live this. It's part excitement. Just know you are part excitement. You know what we discuss excitement stage on Sunday, right? Part excitement. Sir, are you trying to say you now see that Zoe is a life, is used for life, like life. Even the life of an unbeliever is called Zoe. It's just life. But what he uses is eternal life. Anion Zoe. That is, so the people he was writing to understood what Anion Zoe is. They understood what eternal life is. They know it's going to be the life of the
Messiah. The reign. Eternal life is the reign of the Messiah. They know. They know eternal life is the reign of the Messiah. What are you following?
This is not working anymore. What's happening? Okay. So, where was I? So, eternal life, the only one was talking about, so eternal life will be the reign of the Messiah. Hope you're following me. Right? It will be the reign of the Messiah. So, very important. So when they will have eternal life. So how does, where does the Messiah reign? That is the indwelling. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. He will see it, and he will prolong his days. Hope you're following me. So God is, Jesus is the life, or the Messiah is reigning through his seed in the earth. That's what it is. Hope you're following me. He's reigning through his seed in the earth. Glory to God. That is eternal life. So it's got nothing to do with the economic meltdown. Amen. Glory to God. So let's go ahead. We're in John 3, right? Because it's eternal life. So that means God reigns. So yet eternal life, it means God's reign in the believer, right? In John 8:12, he now calls the Spirit light. Right? Right? But I didn't say this, the Spirit is light. Come on, look at what he has been talking about. What do we receive? The Spirit says, Satan again said to them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me will not walk in darkness, but shall have. So what did we say the believer will have in a new birth? The Spirit, which is eternal life. He now calls that light what? Light. Full. Not walk in darkness, but will have light. So that means the believer has light. Light. You that word force is used for direction. That means the believer has direction. The believer has leading. In fact, the very use of the word new birth to receive the Spirit is leading. In Romans 8, Romans 8, for verses 9. Look at how Paul puts it here in verses 9. It says, for ye are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. So, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Like, it makes you look as if it's conditional, but that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that, what Paul is saying is that you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin and the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit that raised him, Jesus of Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. You will live according to the flesh, you shall die. And if you are through the Spirit multiply the deeds of the body, you shall live. 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons. As many as are led. This is that word ago in the Greek. Ago. How you bear a child. How you carry one. See, as many as are led. So it's used for the new birth. As many as are led. So he calls the new birth leading. He calls the new birth leading. Something you're going to see, because that fact of ago, that word ago is what you find in the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. For leading also. We're going to see that soon. So when Jesus said in, listen, so when he says as many as are led by the Spirit, now that as many as are led by the Spirit, is it the indwelling? Remember, he's in the new birth, right? Is that the indwelling? Right? Is that the indwelling? Is that eternal life? Hallelujah. So it's as many as are led by the Spirit, he said they are the sons of God. So when Jesus now says in Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always. Now when you know what I am, shows God's abiding, ever abiding presence with the believer, right? Would that be the indwelling? Would that be leading? Exactly. So the use of the word I am with you always is the word for the leading. I am with you. So when you use the word I am with you, it draws our attention to the leading. It also draws our attention again back to the Exodus fact. Exodus fact. It takes our mind back to the Exodus fact, showing us that he is the I am. I am. Jesus is saying, he is the I am of the Exodus. You see that? He is the God of the Exodus. Or the God in the Exodus. Hope you're following me. He is the God of the Scriptures. Jesus is saying that. Hallelujah. He is the I am. He says, the I am of the Scriptures will be with you. You see that? So it takes your mind back again to where the Old Testament fact. Let's see where Jesus uses the word I am for himself. In John 4:26. Jesus with the woman at the well. Look at John 4 quickly. Let's quickly rush there. John 4 verse 26. Hope you hear me. John 4:26. Now he's speaking to the woman asked him. He says, are you the Christ? And no, here was his response in verse 26. He said to her, I that speak unto thee, I am he. Now, the way the Greek renders it is, I am speaketh unto thee. Is it that way? Glory to God. Glory to God. That's what Egwema is. I am speaketh unto thee. When the woman said, are you the Christos? Now, the woman knows that the Christos will be the I am of the Old Testament book. Hope you're following me. He gave notes. because Moses has prophesied concerning the prophet. He says the one who will come after, not referring to Joshua, but referring to the Lord. Right? He says, a prophet like me. So they already know that the I am will be, the Christos will be the I am. Hope you are following me. So when no one asks, are you the Christos? His response was what? I am speaker to thee. Hope you are following me. So I am in Exodus is used for the incarnation. Hope you are following me. God telling Moses, I will become a man. And so you have to read it as a conversation. And Jesus comes on this thing and says, I am speaker to thee. Take your mind again to the Moses fast. Okay, believe me. Who I say has said, tell them, I tell him, I am. You see that? Say, I am speaking to thee. Just like Moses. Just like they said of fast. Okay, believe me. And what did the woman do immediately she heard it? Look at verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went to the city and said, also the men, come see the man who told me all things. That I've ever done. It is the Christ. You see that? Is it not the Christ? Okay, following me. So the moment she heard, I am speaking today, she left her water pot. Because she knew it can only be the Messiah that will use that word. Okay, following me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So she left. They have found the Christos. Amen. Very important. In chapter 6, verse 20. John 6, 20. Are you following me now? He says here. Now he came to meet them and was walking on the water, and they were terrified. They were afraid. And what did he say? He said to them, it is I. Be not afraid. Now the Greek put it this way. It is I am. Just like say, I am. It is I am. Be not afraid. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Very important. You need to see that soon. Hallelujah. It is I am. Be not afraid. Ego am I. You find it again in John 6 verse 35. John 6 verse 35. It says, I am the bread of life. Right? He used that word. The concentration of that word in John 6 was massive. John 6 verse 35, John 6 48, John 6 verse 51. You find it again in John 7. John 7, 28 into 29. Glory to God. John 7, 28 into 29. Jesus is the temple. After the message, but then said some of them of Jerusalem, not this he, whom they seek to kill. He's not the one they seek to kill, but Lord, he speaketh boldly, and they said nothing to him. The rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ. How be? We know this man where he is, but the Christ cometh, no man knoweth where he is. Did you see how they come? They say, this is not the Christ. No, he can't be the Christ. If the Christ comes, we won't know him. We won't know where he is. But if I will know him, we know his papa, we know his mama. That's where they listen. And Jesus cried his neighbor and said, ye both know me. Right? He said, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true. Whom? Ye know not. He uses the word I am. Not say, but I know him. For I am from him. You know that? And he has sent me. So, Jesus uses the word I am. He isn't using it just like a sentence. He's using it for a person. I am. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. For himself. Look at chapter 8. Very striking here. Very striking here. You find it in chapter 8, 66. Now he is with the scholar, then 56, and he said, I'm trying to cut it short because I have a whole lot to look at. So your father Abraham, Jesus is speaking, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. You see that? When he said that, he said, rejoice to see my day. Look at what they said in verse 57. And the Jews said to him, are thou now yet 50 years old? Say, are you even up to 50 years old? That, and hast thou seen Abraham? So they have dealt with age. Do you see that? They've dealt with age. Have you not said verse 58? He says, very, very I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, he wasn't talking about age. When they heard I am, they knew that word I am was reserved. Ego am I. was reserved for the Messiah. And what did they do? They took up stones to cast him out. So their taking also was not because he said he's aged. No, he's not aged again. It's because the use of the word I am is for the Christos. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So Jesus used that word, ego am I, to show that he is the God of the scriptures. The I am of the scriptures. So that's why when you get comfortable with this Jehovah, I want to copy the way my pastor will call it, the Jehovah Witness or the Jehovah Witness. Anyone? Hallelujah. They say Jesus is a kind of God. That is a misconstrued in their theology. That is a dent and a blow to their theology. You can't say Jesus is a type of God. Jesus is God. How are you hearing me? Say, and Jesus is a God. No, Jesus is God. Hallelujah. He's the God of the scriptures. He's the God of the Exodus. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at how Paul will put it. He says, that rock that followed them. Let's look at that in 1 Corinthians 10. We'll still see that again. Look at 1 Corinthians 10 verse 2 quickly. He said, they drank of that rock that followed them. He said, and that rock was Christ. Hallelujah. 10. Verse 2. So they all baptized over in the garden, and they all ate the same spiritual meat, and they drank the same spiritual drink, and they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Specific. He said, that rock was Christ. So that means they had the leading of the Spirit of Trinity with them. Say there was a personality with them. And he said, that is the Christos, the I am, Jesus. He was with them in the wilderness. Hallelujah. So he's the God of the Old Testament books. To try to repolish it would be heresy. He is the God of the Old Testament books. And it became man. Did you see that? So John will now put it this way. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and God is the Word. He says, same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him. Genesis 5. And without Him was anything made out of His made. In Him is light. And the light, and Him is light, and the light is the light of men. Right? Right? Is that Genesis 1:3? And the light shines in darkness. Genesis 1:3 into back to 2. And darkness comprehends it not. Hallelujah. There was a man who was sent to bear witness of the light. He says, same we say, He was not the light, but was come to bear witness of the light. He said, this is the true light. That shines that, this is the true light that shineth on every man that cometh into the world. So he was in the world was made by him, and the world did not know him. Came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the sons of God. Let's just track down to verse 14. Say, and the word, which is God in Genesis 1:1, became flesh and dwelt with us. So Jesus is God of the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. What are you following me? Hallelujah. Let's look at a few things. So if he is the I am of the scripture, therefore I will read and see in the background of the leading of, I will read and see that the background of the leading of the Spirit in scriptures is the Old Testament books. We will see him lead. We will see him lead. We will see him lead. Lead the children of Israel. Lead the men of the Old Testament book. That leading, as we said, will be what? From darkness to light, right? Did we say that? Darkness, we'll find that leading, darkness to light. Right? Right? We'll find it as the world to Christ. Right? Hallelujah. I saw that last week from the Exodus fact. The Exodus fact is what? The Exodus will be darkness, will be the world. Right? Right? To Christ. So it will be, so the leading will be out of the Exodus, out of darkness. Right? Out of darkness. And God led them out of Egypt. Let the Exodus. Egypt will be darkness. So out of Egypt will be out of darkness. Out of Egypt will be out of the world. Right? So God led them out of the world. From darkness to light. So Paul will put it this way. In the light, he has delivered us out of darkness. So that light is deliverance. That light is deliverance. And he said that light will be what? Translation. So that will be the living. Colossians 1:13. In the light he delivered us out of darkness and translated us to the kingdom of his Son, of his Lord. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. So we have living. So, quickly, let's look at something quickly. So, Moses shows them, and by extension us today, right? That God, so, quickly, out of darkness, out of Egypt, right? The world. Now, let's see this. Moses shows them, extension us also. God's leading from the Genesis. We saw that, right? God's leading from the Genesis. In Genesis 1-2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So men were in darkness, right? So what would have happened in verse 3? And God said, let there be light. Do you see that? So he shows that it will be from darkness to light. Hope you're following this. Hallelujah. And what will be the light? The light will be in the image of his Son. Verse 26. Hope you're following this. The light will be in the image of his Son. Verse 26. In Genesis 2:8. Watch Genesis 2:8. You'll find living there. So this is Moses teaching them concerning the living. Genesis 2:8. He says there, and the Lord God planted in the garden eastward. Planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he put the man whom he had formed. See that he put the man, so that will be living, right? So God's plan is to put man in his garden. So what will be the garden? His presence, his spirit, his image. Did you see that? Repeating the same fact. In darkness, let there be light, darkness to light. Right? Right? Man in the image, man in the garden. And all this will be a temple reality. Hope you are following that. Glory to God. Let's go for that idea. Let's go for that idea. Okay, we'll get back here. Look at Genesis 12. So Moses is writing to them, God's leading. Genesis 12, verses 1. He said, and the Lord God said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kingdom, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Is that? And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that will be God's leading to a land that I will show you. That means I will lead you. Hallelujah. God's leading. Hallelujah. God's leading. So, if we go get back to 1 Corinthians 10, where we just left off, when Paul says, the drink of that spiritual drink, from the spiritual rock, and the rock is Christ, he makes us see that what they had all through in the wilderness is the living. So when you hear the word wilderness, now when the way they use the word wilderness, we say wilderness is used for our walk in the world today. Right? Our walk in the world. Remember, we are delivered from darkness to light. Yes, we are still in the world. Right? The same thing too. So when you hear the writers of their teachings, including Jesus, or the synoptics, including Jesus in the synoptics, when we hear them talk about walking in the spirit, walking or talking about the living of the spirit, their emphasis will be where? The wilderness experience. Why? Because the wilderness experience will typify our walk in the world today. We are delivered out of darkness to light, and we are still in the world. Hallelujah. What are you telling me? They were delivered from Egypt. And where were they? In the wilderness. Hope you're following me. So they will write from that fact. So Paul will now say, do not murmur as they did. Why is he making reference to the wilderness? Because we have learned how not to walk in the flesh. Hope you're following me. We ought to walk in the spirit. We ought to follow the leading of the spirit. Hope you're following that. We did all those discussions last week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, first thing first, something you want to set in your mind is this: the believers don't lack leading. The believer doesn't lack leading. I need you to get that way. Say to yourself, I don't lack the leading of God's Spirit. He says, okay, I don't lack the leading of God's Spirit. I don't lack the leading of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's a fact that the believer is not supposed to walk in the wilderness without always recognizing and following the leading of the Spirit. What will be the wilderness? The world. Right? So the believer is not supposed to live in the air without always recognizing and following the leading. That will be the narrative of the writers of the epistles. They're not supposed to walk in the earth without the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So that means the believer doesn't have a problem with the leading of the Spirit. He's always having the leading of the Spirit. He doesn't have a problem with the leading. He always have the leading of the Spirit with him. Because the Spirit is in us forever. Hallelujah. But where there will be an issue, if there is an issue, will be recognizing and following it. Recognizing and following it. And what do we say we need to recognize and follow the leading? Our mind. Our mind. Let's stay here for a while. For just a few minutes. Our mind. So that means if we need our minds to, that means our mind must be, our mind is because we need our minds to. We need our minds here. With our mind. Because remember we say information in the Spirit comes to our mind as revelation. The reason why Paul's prayer for them will be concerning their understanding. Will be concerning their understanding always. Why? Because that is, I put it this way, that is where, that will be the starting point for walking in the living. First is to acknowledge the fact that you are well led. Right? Acknowledge that you are well led. Then you recognize that living. And you lead your mind. Hallelujah. Now imagine that same mind that information from outside flows into. Is that same mind that the Spirit of God still uses? Hope you're following me. Amen? Amen? Very vital. So that means, no wonder Paul will say, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the mind becomes very important. The writer, I mean, Proverbs will say, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues that govern life. That governs life. Hallelujah. That means I have a duty. I have a duty to keep my mind pure. I have that duty as a believer. I have that duty. I must not fail in that duty. You see, many a times, sometimes I hear people, I've also done that, but when I realize that it wasn't right, I have to stop. Yes, but it doesn't, it's what comes out of a man that defiles a man, not what a man hears. Those things you are listening to, they do not give me anything. Satan plays a long game. Pastor Shego has taught us and he's always saying, Satan plays a long game. Yeah, he does not do anything. Even the little memes you watch, sometimes you just remember them. Kunana, my banana, my banana. So when you have to go out of your knees, you are taking my banana, my banana. Believer, stop talking. Now remember, Pastor said you should pray. Oh, Baba, it's here. Most times, they do things come back to you. What's your dream? Now you give the 45 feet. Yeah, no dream 35. But what's your dream? There are signals of what you are listening to. Watch it. Hallelujah. Amen. Watch it. Some people will spend 2 hours to watch short clips. Watch, Mr. Sabini, before you are watching Mr. Sabini. Before you know it, 30. He said, sir, I don't like long messages, 1 hour, 15 minutes, it's too long. It's too long, sir. They know, Satan plays a long game, they know. That you cannot watch, when you see long movies, for what, I don't have that time. My shit, then, as Brother Shegu said to us recently, is that now they reduced it. You don't need to see 2 hours Okun. Okun is not running again now. Sabinus is there. What's the name of this other guy? Samakarun is still Yasha. You have social things like that. Give you people. What is he there? They what they call brain teaser, the brain jumper. So you say, let me just watch you one. You know, you just see 4 minutes, let's just watch one. And you're not watching it. When it's lining up, Facebook will now show you next. You'll not be seeing one. Let me go for this one. Like that. Next, next, next. Taoma, they are slapping themselves. Next, next, next. Ah! You have sat down, bro, 2 hours. And you say, let's pray 1 hour. You are sleepwalking. You are praying 1 hour, you are kneeling down. Oh Father, thank you. Master, Kesi, da, da, da. Well, you can sit and watch. Your mind, everything is entering your mind. No. To have to. Hallelujah. See, some people, some people, I read the writer by my pastor online yesterday, said, I am a pastor and I pastor, I don't pastor my people online. I pastor, you know, in the church and things like that. Somebody now responded, now said, sir, are you saying that a pastor should not, I cannot contact my pastor online? What nonsense? What is this? What is this saying? What are you responding? You know, a lot of people, their problem is everything they've come to know about life is online. Sorry, I don't envy our generation because we are in together. I don't envy this generation. We have a whole lot of distractions. A whole lot. Some of you didn't meet it, but I met it towards the end. Towards the end. But I wish today that I still remain there. You know what I mean? Met this, what I will tell you, towards the end of it. Well, today, you have TV stations, you have radio stations, you have, in fact, I heard this morning as I was driving to work, someone said he called last night around 3 a.m. And I called him again and I said, are you not sleeping? Are you a demon? Can you call around 3 a.m. when people are sleeping? Then I'm going to go for VG. You go and look for mother and sleep somewhere. When you're praying, you'll be singing. They are praying, you are singing. Oh Lord, you have been so good. Is that they come, you come to see? Amen? But he was calling 3 a.m. But listen to the other. They give you something. Some people slept last night because of blackout. There was no blackout in the nation. People will not sleep. They are full. So yes, their own gadgets were off. Hallelujah. Some people remember to pray to God. So and we were not comforted. Glory to God. They were not comforted. I remember one day like that, that Facebook and WhatsApp went down for a few hours. People thought rapture was taking place. No. People wanted to die. Thank God I didn't notice it. Because so how many people say, but so I said, did he go down for 2 hours? I didn't even know. Really, like you send me message sometimes, is the next one I will see. That's even okay. Amen? But people, their life is there. Somebody came to me and was saying, she almost ran mad. I said, how? He said, she almost entered depression. That Instagram was not coming up. What a life. Amen? Because your life, you filled it up with this. Because you feed your mind with wrong things. People, all they know is online. So they are educated online. They now learn, they say, this is what is trending. So that means, this is what God is saying. Train God, you read scriptures. Very well. Discover that. Never at a point was the voice of the people the voice of God. No. In fact, when you find, what you find as voice of the people is rebellion, unbelief. Rebellion, unbelief. Never at a time is the voice of the people the voice of God. Some people will catch a man of God online. A lot of a man of God, a believer online. And what they will do is, what do they call it? They called him out online. And everybody is tongue lashing him. And you are used to your adding. The point that somebody now open mouth to say, a pastor who is supporting, the same pastor who is supporting a political party member, is an evil spirit. Has the kingdom of is an agent of darkness. And people created. See, that one that has said it, our marketing. But the major person of man is that believer that does not have mind to say it on his own word. Not him to comment and say, right on, sir. That is the worst. That is the worst person. Mark that person. Mark him. That one is the worst. No, we'll just talk our mind. We're not taught that way as believers. To talk our mind. We're not taught that. Never. We're not taught in scripture to say our mind. Social media, you say your mind. Amen? In the times where, as in the generation before that, TV comes up in the afternoon. You talk about saying that I do. Today, how many children can ever sing as I do? Goes off in the evening. By 10 hours, you're preparing to go and sleep. But today, you watch Ayamatanga. You watch everything in the night. God bless you. And remember, you want to do AMBPA or AMBB. It's back everywhere. You know well. Hallelujah. So you watch your mind. Hallelujah. That same mind that God uses. Imagine. Can you just try something? That same mind that God uses to allow every other to flow inside. No. God uses that mind. That means, because I know God uses that mind, I have to keep that mind free. I have to keep it free. I have to keep it holy. I have to keep it sane. So that means I see. I trust the Lord. I see trusting God. Right? But you know, we can trust God together to ensure that see, before we allow things, how about before you watch that movie, check the content. As in, how do you check the content? Don't rush to watch. Check the reviews. Right? Check the reviews. Try to start seeing things that you allow into your mind, because your mind must be kept holy. That is where God uses to lead you. He had the spirit. Hallelujah. So that means I will be careful of what I allow into my mind. Proverbs say, guard your heart. It's just like how you put coral or soldier. You guard your heart with all diligence. But you know the word diligence is the same word that is now translated in the Greek, spodido, with all diligence. That is to say you have a path to build. You have that path to play with all diligence, with all willingness. That means I cannot protect my mind out of, like, you must be conscious, out of consciousness. No, you must be conscious protecting your mind, guarding your heart. Because my mind will be a holy ground. God uses my mind. Hope you are following that. So you say, God uses my mind. So I will keep it holy. I will keep it holy. Something else you need to understand. Because I know God works with my mind. Eh? That means, is it? I understand the fact that when it comes to business, sometimes you can be strongly willed. You know, as a believer, first of all, you can't be self-willed. You can't be self-willed. Yeah, you know, I've heard some people say, I'm a self-willed person. I'm a self-willed. No. No, you are spirit-willed. What do you follow me? You are spirit-willed. You follow the leading of the Spirit. So I'm a spirit-willed person. What do you follow me? Some people will say, tell me about them, I'm very strong-willed. No. No. You can be strong-willed as regards maybe your business, acumen, but when it comes to the leading of the Spirit, you can't be strong-willed. No! No! I hope you're following me. You can't say you are strong-willed. You are not heady. You are not heady. I'm not stubborn to the leading of the Spirit. So I can't be strong-willed and spirit-willed. I can't be self-willed and spirit-willed. Okay, follow me. You say that to yourself. I'm spirit weak. I'm spirit weak. God uses my mind. God speaks to me by the Spirit. And I receive it with my mind. I recognize it through with my mind. So I will keep my mind holy. God uses my mind. God uses my mind. Okay, follow me. Okay, follow me. God uses it. So for me to recognize God's leading will be with my mind. So I have to keep it holy. Amen. God is leading you. You can't even recognize it. Because there are several voices in your mind. several voices, my kunanga, my banana, tahoma, everything in your mind. Everything is just like we're just making noise. God is talking. They come this way. And you are hearing, come you are hearing, who na na, who na na, who na. Because they come this way. Well, who na na, who na na. There's several noises in your mind. Are you not the author? Many voices in his head. I don't know who's calling me. I mean, you don't know around the other but you don't worry. I have voices in my head, they're calling me. You know what it's done? Nobody ever said, several voices in your head. Amen? Heard of God? No. You don't allow those things to speak. You keep your mind holy. Hallelujah. So we have that duty. We have that work. Glory to God. Heard of God. I have a few minutes left. Okay. I wonder if I will get here today. Amen. So that means I must keep it holy, right? And something else that we must do, we must understand in recognizing the leading of the Spirit is that I will stay with the written word, right? We looked at that. Right? Amen? Psalms 119 verse 105. The word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. So I must understand that the written word is God's leading. The written word is God's leading. So that means the written word, I like to add this phrase to it. The written word well explained. So that means lack of proper explanation of the written word, is not to recognize the leading of the Spirit. Just around that. Amen. Well explained. The written word well explained is God's leading. Hallelujah. Because when you don't have the word well explained, you misinterpret it. We just saw during our explaining today's word from scriptures. So remember that teaching? It's still coming up maybe in a few weeks time, maybe next 2 weeks. Now, and remember when we answered the question on Trotter? Right? Was we talking about Trotter? Now, because people have not really understood that thing. They have the leading of God's Spirit is, don't wear trousers. It's in the world. It's in the scriptures. Mm-hmm. That is wrongly explained. And we saw that men were scared. How about that? But because you have not explained it well, you are misled. Not misled. You are misleading yourself. Yeah, because automatically, when it's not well explained, it's not the leading of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. It's not the leading of God's Spirit. Maybe we are waiting for that message to be out. You get that message out by January next year. It's not a joke. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's go ahead. So, very important. So, the reason why Moses would give them Genesis, give an Exodus audience, give them Genesis so that they would know God's leading. That's why Moses gave them Genesis. They should know God's leading. He was writing today about theology. Tell me about how God leads his people and he gives them the Genesis. He shows them in the Genesis. This is God's leading. God's leading is for man to be in his image. Right? God's leading is for man to be in his image. Very vital. Man to be in his image. Remember I told us something last week? I said, when you learn Genesis, every night Exodus, what you call the Ten Commandments, where will you find the Ten Commandments? You find it, it will be near where I'm recording. Use that. Use that. Hallelujah. You find God's leading where? You find the Ten Commandments where? In Genesis. Amen? So, what you find as Ten Commandments, Moses' doctrine, see what he taught us in Genesis. Hallelujah. So he writes, he shows them the danger. He shows them and says, you have no other God before me. Where will you find other God? You will find other gods in Genesis 11. I have no other God before me. Hallelujah. You'll find it there. Glory to God. Idol worship. That's idol worship. You find it all through around. So, Everything is there. Just not what we're looking, not what we're looking at today. Now something else you see, that I told you that you were looking at recognizing God's word through the written word, your pastor. Right? This is where we stop. Your pastor. Now when you hear the word pastor, poimen, the background of poimen will be Abel. And I told you last week, Moses, yes, but you find Abel as God's poimen. Abel and Moses. That will be the background of poimen. Abel and Moses. In Genesis 4, let's run through Genesis 4 too. 4 verses 1. Okay, Genesis 4, I want everybody to be there. So, it says, and she again bore his brother. Verse 1. Another knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And he said, I've begotten a man from the Lord. And she bore again his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Is that? Abel was a keeper of sheep. When he uses the word keeper, something you will see shortly. In Cain and Abel, you will find God's heart and God's plan and purpose for man. In Cain and Abel. Now, what you will see here will be, Cain was a keeper of sheep. The word keeper is the word in the Hebrew, raha. Raha. R-A-A-H. Raha. It's used for a pastor. When you have the word in the Greek, poimen, it's used for a shepherd. A poimen. A pastor. What about the name? Raha. And Cain, on the other hand, Cain was to be a tiller of the ground. A tiller of the ground. That word tiller is the word abad. Abad. The word you find in Genesis 2 verse 15. God's plan for Adam. It says, and God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. Abad and Shamar. What about the name? Abad. And how would the writer of Genesis, who is Moses, use the word abad? Something we'll see next week. He will use the word abad for the priestly ministry. Abad. He used for a priestly ministry. To dress and to keep it. Hope you're following that. Abad. Something else you need to see here. In verse 9. Here is the golden question. Verse 9. And he said, after Cain has killed Abel. And he said, verse 9. And the Lord called unto, what am I reading? Chapter 4, sorry, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Who is Abel? A shepherd, a poimen, right? Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. His question in verse 9 was in rejection of God's path. He says, am I my brother's keeper? Keeper. Hallelujah. Now the word keeper. When you use the word keeper, remember what is the word? When you use the word keeper, is the word for shama. Where you find in Genesis 2:15, to dress and to keep it, is a priestly ministry. Okay, follow me. It's a priestly ministry. So he said, am I my brother's keeper? That was a rejection of the priestly ministry. The priestly office of being a brother's keeper. Of being a brother's keeper. So that means in Cain and Abel, what we find is God's task in all the earth. Abel is a pastor. Abel is the shepherd. So in Cain and Abel, we find God's task in the earth. For man to be to shepherd, man to be the pastor and a brother's keeper. That is the priestly ministry. Okay, for ladies, a pastor and a brother's keeper. A pastor, a shepherd, and a brother's keeper. Priestly ministry. Service. Okay, for ladies, service. Okay, for ladies, service. Glory to God. Okay, for ladies, that. So what was the resultant effect? Abel was the pastor and Cain killed Abel. Violence, right? Would that be, let me, violence, okay, unbelief, would that be unbelief? Would that be unbelief? Come on, let's speak here. Would that be unbelief? Showing okay, this is Moses showing them or identifying them with what was obtainable in their world. Unbelief. How God's prophets are being killed by unbelief. Unbelief. So he said the reason, just Paul, just Moses writing to them and letting them see the reason why God's prophet is being killed in their world will be unbelief. Something around that. Amen? Amen. So, you'll find in Abel a pastor. A pastor. A pastor. That means I should be careful when you see a pastor being dragged. Don't be involved. Okay, you hearing me? Don't get involved. Don't get involved. It's just always been like that. Can't kill them. Okay, same with Moses. Moses was their pastor. Moses was their pastor. One who led them to pastures. He was their Rahab. We'll see that speak for Moses next week in Exodus 3. You find that in Exodus 3. Just trying to rush my book. My notes. Okay. One who leads to pastor. So, the use of the word poimen or raha in itself shows leading. He leads to pastor. Hallelujah. He leads to pastor. So, we will find at the... We will find... the words of our pastors as the leading of the Spirit. You'll find it. You'll find as the word of our pastor the leading of the Spirit. You'll find that. You'll find that. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 4 from verse 10, it says God, I mean, when he ascended on high, he led captive and gave gifts as men. Right? Gave gifts to men. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Right? In 1 Corinthians 12:28, I'm just saying, 1 Corinthians 12:28, say God has set this in the church. So that means our pastors is God's setup, is God's leading. So your pastor is God's leading to you. And in his words, you'll find God's leading. I have it there. And in his words is God's leading to you. So God leads us through our pastor. Say, God is leading me. God is leading you through a man. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. Some people say, I don't need any man to lead me. God is my shepherd. I shall not want. He did not say, Pastor Smart is my shepherd. I say, God is my shepherd. God leads men through men.